Video. If you didn't get this morning's message and you didn't get to hear it firsthand or secondhand on the radio, you probably want to go back and listen to it on our website. Amen. It was a little cowboyology in there, I think. Amen. And Pastor Carter, he used the term, you know, the milk of the word, you know, that comes from the cow, but the meat is the cow. Amen. Amen. And I thought that, you know, that's something. Well, I want the cow. I don't want the milk. Amen, amen. You come and preach to us, my brother. Thank you so much for preaching to us this morning. Let's give him a big hand. Thank you so
much. All right, good crowd tonight. You can find it. We're going to be in Acts 28 if you want to find that. I made a deal with myself. You get old enough, you get to talk to yourself. Amen. And you get old enough, you get to make a decision. I never do anything without talking to my wife after I've made my mind up. So here we go. This is what I would like to do tonight. And you got to be careful how you use these words this day and age, but I love Mickey Carter. Amen. Dr. Carter is way higher than I could ever reach, and I'm way down lower than I could ever reach, but he's always treated me good. He didn't treat me like this big gap between us. He's just an inspiration. He cannot be moved. Amen. You young people don't know what I'm talking about. Years ago, when they got in a fuss about the King James Bible and which Spanish Bible and which this and which that, he was the first to take the strongest stand. Amen. So here's my deal I made with myself. We should give honor to whom honor is due. Amen. And he deserves, he and his wife, both the honor. Amen. My wife and I have been married 55 years, and but anyway, I'm going to just do this. I'm going to just give you something real sweet and short. I don't know about the sweet part, but I just want to give you something that will help us. Then I just want to go and let's give him some honor. Amen. Yeah, will that work? Acts chapter 28, please. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 2. Acts 28, verse 2 says, "And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god." Watch this carefully. And if you miss this point, you're going to miss the whole sermon, and I'm going to go fast. You're going to have to listen quick tonight. He goes to work, even though he's a prisoner. Paul was a prisoner of Jesus Christ, but he went to work. Amen. Amen. He gathers the sticks, and when he went to put them on the fire, a viper, a snake, bit him. Now watch this carefully. The snake did not just bite him and run off and leave him alone. When the snake bit him, the snake hung on. You got that clear now? Stay that clear in your mind. Watch this now. It came a time when he should have what? Should have swolled up. But he didn't. If you give me a few minutes, I want to preach a sermon on simply this subject. Don't swell up. Shake it off. Father, meet with us tonight. Have us get something from this that would help us in Jesus' name. Amen. He said in verse 5, "And he shook off the beast into the fire." We all, whether we like it or not, we all go through times in our life and things in our life that we get all puffed up about. Now, here's what you need to understand. You're not so special. You've heard this morning. You're not so special that you're the only one that the devil gets to pick on. We all go through it. So when you have a problem, you're going to do one of two things. You're going to hang on to it, because that snake that bites you ain't going to leave you alone. You don't realize the devil's smarter than we give him credit for. And he knows if that's getting to you, he's going to leave the snake hanging there. You have to have enough courage to shake it off. Amen. And not swell up about it. Right. I can remember some things in my life that when I surrendered to go to the mission field 49 years ago. Amen. Amen. We had nothing. I wanted to prove to the Indian people know that you hate them because you're white. I hate to tell you that, but and by the way, it's partly their fault, but it's the way we treated them. Right. You know, I'm not saying you got a right to disbelieve or distrust anybody. I'm just saying they, in worldly speaking, they had a reason to not do that. I would have Sunday school Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, soul winning, Saturday bus visitation, and I did that as if I was running 1,000 people. And for 3.5 years, I preached to my wife and 2 little boys. Now, wait a minute. Maybe it's because I was a babe in Christ. I do not know. But it took me a long time to shake that off. I would complain to God. I would hear the neighbors make fun of my family. I'd hear people say, God ain't in that. I had 3 preachers call me for breakfast, and they said, listen, God's not in this. You need to give up and quit. Some 5 years after they told me that, I was the only one of the group that had breakfast that morning still serving God. Make sure you're where God wants you. I'm going to say this to you. If you think it's easy to have a ministry, to build a work like this, you're just crazy. And some bad things are going to happen. I have been sued 17 times since I've been pastor in the same church I'm preaching right now. 17 times. Some things you just have to shake off, keep going. And I would complain to God, God, you said you would build the church. And God, you give the increase. And it's not, and by the way, we wasn't sluggards. We literally, I'd go into town to work because I never went on deputation, didn't have any money. And I'd come home every night, shower, change the shower, pour water over me and clean myself. And we didn't have any running water or electricity. And change clothes, and my wife and 2 little boys would go soul winning every night. Every night. Yet nobody came for 3.5 years. Now, I told you this story before, but by that, once a year I'd quit. I didn't shake it off. And it almost got me where I wasn't serving God. Then I would think about my wife. For ladies, listen to me now, if you hadn't heard this story before. For 5.5 years, we lived in a borrowed 19-foot travel trailer in the desert without running water or electricity. 5.5 years. And we just shook it off and kept going. And now my wife's getting a home. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. You need to come see it. Then I got a federal marshals came to our church. I'm from Florida. In Florida, we're not a socialist state yet. I said yet. They said, you better sign petitions. You better go vote. You better do everything you can. And by the way, you ought to thank God that for the law enforcement you got and for the governor you got. Amen. We don't have that blessing like you have. Amen. And they showed up and said, who do you think you are? I said, I'm a redneck from Florida. I don't think it, I know it. And they said, no. Who gave you permission to start a private school with government property? I said, don't know what you're talking about. I own this property. He said, no. The Indians are property of the federal government. You can't start a private school for them. without permission. You know what I did? I shook it off and kept school going. They came and arrested me. You know what they did? They presented me with a federal court order for disobedience. What my wife and I did, we shook it off and kept going. They took me to court. An Indian lady. They said, sir, we're going to sentence you to 14 days in jail, contempt to a court order. I said, whatever you got to do, you got to do. An Indian lady, I ain't talking about a man, an Indian lady stood up, said it won't do you any good because you put him in jail. I'm going to take it over till he gets out in 14 days. Amen. And he said, well, lady, I'll put you in jail too. And then one by one, people began to stand up and said, then we'll do it for 2 weeks. Then we'll do it. We're not shutting down. And he called us up to the stand and sort of tried to whisper, but it didn't work too good. He said, if we're not careful here, we're going to open up a can of worms. And they let us alone. Sometimes you just got to shake it off and keep on going. But most of us won't do that. We swell up. Be careful with that. I got a summons to go to court. I was being sued. I thought, what in the world? So I went to court. A plumbing company said they had come to our property and there was a bunch of underground water leaks and they fixed them and they wanted to be paid for it. We had never seen them. I had all the people that knew better from our church to go to the court with me. And I asked the secretary of this plumbing company, have I ever called you and asked you to come to our property? She said, nope. I said, have I ever talked to you? She said, nope. Now stay with me. Do you know for a fact that somebody from your company came out and did work? She said, no. I'm going to tell you how crooked. I'm just going to say it. Our country's getting awfully crooked. And the plumbing company that was suing me, the owner of the company's wife was a judge in that same building. And on the other side of the building, this judge that had sentenced me to go to court. And this is what he said. Well, I believe they came and did something. I find you guilty. You got to pay all this money. I literally got so angry. I know you don't believe that because I'm such a sweet, wonderful person. I got so angry, I couldn't sleep at nights. I could not sleep. I was so angry. You know why? I swole up. I couldn't shake it off. Do you realize that God is takes care of the vengeance? We don't have to. Watch this carefully. 2 months from the day he found me guilty, he died. Touch not God's anointed. Amen. The other judge, which was a lady, the wife of the owner of the plumbing company, and 2 months later, the elections came up, and she lost big. She's supposed to win big. She's run 3 times since that day and hadn't won yet. Amen. Listen. Go and swell up if you want to. But you better shake it off. Amen. And let God take care of things. Some of you, if you're not careful, listen carefully, because I love you enough to tell you the truth. By the way, I'm not your enemy because I tell you the truth. Amen. There's people sitting here right tonight hearing me that if you are not careful, you won't be here a year from now. Yeah. You'll let the least little thing swell you up and the devil wins the victory. You won't even be in church. Don't swell up. Shake it off. Amen. When I went to Vietnam, they gave you an orientation and there was... They said there's just every kind of snake in these jungles you can believe. But two of them, if they bite you, there is no venom. One is a bamboo viper. He's a green snake that's only about 2 feet long, and he hangs in the bamboos. And he looks just the same color as the bamboo, and you'll be walking, chopping through, trying to get on a patrol, going through the jungles. If he bites you, you're just dead. And I thought, there's another one. There in the Red Sea, it's a Red Sea moccasin. He's a big snake. But it's like a moccasin here in Florida, water moccasin or cottonmouth moccasin you have in Florida. If it bites you, there's no venom for it. He was telling all that, be very, very careful. You've got to be literally a point where you're afraid, because here's what happens. This snake that bit Paul was a venomous snake. They did not have what we have today. And they knew he was going to die. Paul knew he had been snake bit. Paul didn't, nobody has, hey sir, by the way, there's a snake hanging on your hand. He knew. Listen to me carefully. I don't care how mad you get, but listen. You know when you've been bit. Amen. You know the best time to kill a snake? When he first sticks his head up. That's the best time. Don't wait till he bites you. We had a group from Florida come on a mission trip out to our place. We have a snake called a bull snake. They tell you that if a snake's head is pointed, he's poisonous. If it's rounded, listen, don't listen to those things. This bull snake has it looks identical to a rattlesnake. Pointed head, diamonds across his back. He's got everything that a rattlesnake has except the rattlers. He'll coil up and hiss and strike at you just like a rattlesnake, but he's non-poisonous. So I was going to show off. This mission group, teenage mission trip, came to our place. So I found one about 6 feet long. I picked him up and wrapped it around me twice. Looked like I was showing off. And he bit me right here. Blood going everywhere. Now, he's not poisonous, but if a mosquito bites you, it's not fun. And I couldn't get him off. I shook and shook and shook and slung. It just kept flapping around. By the way, that's the last time I showed off with a snake. We had to take a screwdriver and pry him off of my hand. I said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying shake it off or pry it off, but get rid of it. Amen. Don't let the devil win. Shake it off. Don't swell up. Shake off your worldly cares. And I don't have time to give you. I'm going to give you the verses for those of you that like to take notes and pass the test next week. Shake off the worldly cares. We got so much today of the world that some of us don't even look like Christians anymore. We've got so many beliefs to be politically correct that we're scripturally wrong. And we need to wake up before it's eternally too late. We've got to have the latest styles. We have a mall about 40 miles away into a town called Farmington, New Mexico. And my wife, ladies, I love you. There is nothing on earth sweeter than a godly woman. And nothing worse than an old heifer. Yes, I said it. But you women, my wife's never had any money. But you're talking about shopping till you drop. My wife, okay, if I need a pair of shoes, a pair of socks, a pair of pants, I go in the store and I buy them, I pay for them, and I leave. And I'm mad for 2 weeks because I had to go shopping. My wife likes to go to the mall, go in not only into every store, but to go to every rack and never spend a nickel. I don't like that at all. And the main reason I don't like it, they don't sell anything that I would buy. And the people I see walking around wearing what they bought from them stores ought to be ashamed of themselves. Amen. Amen. And so I just don't like that. I don't like it. But we are so caught up in worldliness. I mean caught up like you wouldn't believe. You fellas, listen to me carefully. If you're not careful, God's going to call you to preach and use you. And it's a horrible disease to have to serve God, boys. You'll have more than you've ever had in your life. You'll have a better marriage. You'll have a better life. You'll have better kids. You'll have a better church. But the devil don't want you to do it. And he's going to do everything he can. And we're going to talk about this week. It's your revival. And we're going to talk about this week. You better learn to take the bitter with the good. And you better learn how to shake certain things off and keep on going for God.
Amen.
You're going to be in, by the way, when I went to Christian college, I'd fought a war and married and had kids before I ever got saved. And when I went off to school, I had to go to school full time, work two jobs full time just to get by. He said, why are you telling us that? Listen, shake it off and keep going. If I can do it, anybody can do it. You know what I found out? And my wife, praise God for my wife. 55 years we've been married. Listen, I couldn't have made it without her. She never fussed about not having certain things. Ladies, you're going to make or break him. Behind every great man is a greater woman. And you're not going to make it without her. But we need to shake off worldly cares, and that's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We need to shake off weariness. The Bible says don't be weary in well-doing. Oh, all these classes, having to work to pay my school bill, and now they want me to run a bus route, and now they want me to do this, want me to do that. When am I going to have any time to do what I want to do? There's a place called heaven. And you will get the desires of your heart. But it's not your will that's supposed to be done here. It's God's will. There's nowhere in the Bible you'll find that it's going to be easy. But you're going to find out in the Bible it's worth it. Amen. So shake off your weariness. It starts every day, to be honest with you. It starts off by reading your Bible and praying. And I know that's old school and people don't do that anymore. Every time you get away from God, it starts first with quit reading your Bible. You need that time with God. By the way, shake off worry. Shake off worry. Fellas, you'll get to the point and you'll say, how am I going to pay my school bill? I'm going to be financially withdrawn. How am I going to do this? And you worry yourself to death. Two things you never worry about. Are you ready? You're taking notes. Two things you should never worry about. Don't worry about nothing you can change. Don't worry about nothing you can't change. And then don't worry about the things you can change. Just go change it. Amen. Worrying for the Christian is like sitting in a rocking chair and rocking. You see, worrying, like in a rocking chair, will give you something to do, but it just don't get you anywhere. Amen. So, shake off worry. By the way, shake off fear. Isaiah 4:10 is a great verse for that. Here's something to remember, young men. Don't let fear override your faith.
Amen.
Did you realize that, I don't can tell you if it's true or not. I was watching Fox News the other night. I almost can't even watch that anymore without getting angry.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I'm an old hateful man, I guess, but they say that they ran a poll, whatever you call that, a survey, and they found out that only 38% of Americans still believe there's a God. At that rate, 10 years from now, this church will not exist. You know what we ought to do? We ought to shake that off and get up and go win somebody to the Lord and run buses and teach Sunday school class and do something for God and prove them wrong.
Amen.
Amen. Shake it off.
Amen.
Don't swell up. There's a place in my, I'll just be honest with you, where I live is controlled by the Mormon church. Water bill, electric bill, gas bill, you pay to the Mormon church. Isn't that a blessing? I wouldn't do it. Look at me carefully. Yes, you would. Years ago, they came out with a thing called a CDL license. And all the churches had to have CDL license for their bus drivers. The preachers would get up and preach, a cold day with the devil lives for out. And they went on and on and on. Guess what they did? Some things you just got to shake off. Don't swell up. Just keep on going. Let me make some of you mad. Ready? The Bible does not say fight a fight. It says fight a good fight. Fight a good. Peter, you render unto Caesar's that is Caesar's. We get into fights because we're stupid. Now there's no, you know, listen, a good fight's a good fight. A stupid fight's a stupid fight. Amen. Amen. Only somebody from Texas would wear burgundy breeches. Now just hurt your feelings and watch this carefully. You can swell up or you can shake it off. This is a tough lesson to learn tonight. Shake off your fear. By the way, shake off your weakness. Shake off your weakness. I have a girl in our church that's, I mean, knocked down, drag out, gorgeous. I'm talking about, a woman. She went off to college and she got home and she wasn't married. I said, do you have a problem? You do like men. Why aren't you married? And with the most serious look on her face I've ever seen, she looked at me, fellas, and said, preacher, there are no men left. Grow up. Be a man. You talk, you try to let out your buddies here and the girls in the college, you try to let them know how bad of a man you are. If you're bad, that's what I want you to do. Get up every morning, get you a handful of gospel tracts and go to strangers' doors and knock on it and tell them how to be saved. You'll find out if you're a man or not. You'll find out in a hurry. Shake off weakness. And most importantly, shake off wickedness. Shake off wickedness. Do you realize that Jesus was tempted just like we are, yet without sin? Are you listening to me? Shake it off. It's just as wrong for a man to get into sin as it is for a woman to get in sin. Just as wrong. If you're going to have a double standard and say, the ladies in our college shouldn't do this, then the men in the college shouldn't do it. Amen. Shake it off. Shake it off. Look, just go take your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6 real hurriedly and we'll go eat. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm trying to leave so much out to make this short and I'm going to do it. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I was told you earlier, I was married, grown, fought a war, had kids, wherever got saved. By the way, this past Thursday, August 24th, 53 years ago, right up not far from here in Florida, I got saved 53 years ago. August 24th. It was so funny this year because the day I got saved was a Thursday. And this year on my spiritual anniversary, it fell on a Thursday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But when I first got saved, I didn't know these words in the Bible like you do. I'm going to tell you something you're not going to believe. You live here in Florida. You live down in the Bible Belt of the South. At 22, I had never seen the inside of a church. At 22 years of age, just out of Vietnam, I had never seen a Bible. No one had ever said, hey, come to my Sunday school class. Hello. And no one had ever given me a gospel tract. No one ever had invited me to come to their church. No one ever had invited me to ride their church bus. No one ever invited me to go to heaven. Never. So I didn't know what you know. You take the kids in your Sunday school department here, knows more than I knew when I was 22. Watch this carefully. I did not know these words. He says, be careful. Shake off the wiles of the devil. What in the world does that mean? That word wile by itself without the S on the end means a sly trick. It also means deceitful. It also means beguiling. It also means confusion. But if you put the S on it, guess what it means? All of those things put together. And I guarantee you, he hates you. In the South, we say he hates your guts. He hates your head and your body and your heart too. He hates everything about you. He can, if you're genuinely saved, he can't do nothing about it. But here's what he's going to do. And I'm going to close with this. He's going to bite you every time he can. You know why? He knows most of us will swell up and not shake it off. Don't swell up. Shake it off. Will be the best advice this week you're going to hear.
Stand together tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been bit. And you started to swell up. You need to deal with it. Why don't you come tonight as the musicians make their way here tonight, and why don't you just come and deal with it? Maybe there's just something that's between you and somebody in the church. Maybe you need to come and pray about it and give it to God. Maybe there's something that's been way off in your past and you still haven't given it to the Lord. It's just something between you and him. Somebody bit you and you swole up and it just still is, it still bothers you on a daily basis. Still comes to your mind. Why don't you just give it to God? If you're here tonight and you're not saved, the old devil, you know, he wants you to stay in the pew and not come down and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, if you accepted Jesus, his forgiving power, because of what he did on Calvary, how he came from heaven and died on the cross and rose again, he came to do that, to pay for your sin debt. Do you know tonight, if you just give your life to him, he'd save you and give you a home in heaven. If you're here tonight and you need to be saved, why don't you step out and come? As Brother Bert sings, if you need to come and pray, you come as he sings.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily.
Bow your head with me tonight. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the invitation is to you. So many have come and maybe there was something in their life, but the message tonight was to so many Christians that are hurting. But sometimes folks come and they want to come to church and turn over a new leaf. You can't turn over a new leaf without Jesus Christ. You can't get over or shake it off without knowing for sure that you're on your way to heaven. There's no shaking off what you need to give to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is your never dying soul. Folks have come tonight. Why don't you step out and come as Brother Bert sings?
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power. divine, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed.
Let you be seated tonight. I hope you did exactly what God wanted you to do. And sometimes we are guilty, are we not, about swelling up, amen, when we ought to just shake it off and go on. We have a few that have been saved and want to join the church through baptism. And Julian, is it Gordino? Okay, all right, I got close, amen. You come stand with me. He's been saved. He wants to come tonight and join the church through baptism. Everyone that welcomed him in with the right hand of fellowship, amen. And also, Jenna Canals has come tonight. She's got reassurance of her salvation, and she wants to get all. She wanted to get it settled, amen. And she's gonna. She wants to come through baptism. Everybody that'll welcome her in, amen. And so, Carrie, we're gonna let you go on around this way. These men will take you, Brother Bentoncourt. It'll go with you as well, and I will catch up with you. Would you give me that thing of flowers there? We have something we want to give to Pastor Carter and Miss Carter for their anniversary. If they'll make their way down here. Thank you so much. We want to honor them. And why don't you give them a big hand as they come? Miss Carter, I'll put them right here. You don't have to hold them. The flowers are for you. Okay. And, you can have the check too that's in there, amen. It's from the church. We're so appreciative of them and thankful for you and all that you've done all through the years and continue to do for us here at Landmark. And we wanted to honor you tonight and let you say something if you like. And if not, we're going to let you go over first. That way you get all the first pick of all, Brother Seawright Summer Sausage and things that are over there. We don't want people picking through it first. Amen. That's right. Bull peanuts. Amen. And all those things.
Oh, man, I tell you, I appreciate this church. Folks, you're so kind to us, and we love you. And Brother Chitty said a while ago, took a lot of hard work to have what we have, and no one man could have done it by himself. I thank the Lord first, I thank my wife, and I thank the folks that God sent to hold up my hands and help me to get the job done. And we just praise the Lord for you. Thank you so much.
Want to lead us in something?
Okay.